this Christmas?
Yes, of course, before we did our...
Pretty tall.
Good morning, and thank you, Renata, for the introduction and for inviting us to be part of this this session. Just a few personal comments in addition to the introduction that Renata provided. Recently, I was in Martinique doing a workshop on this subject matter of COMBI, Communication for Behavioral Impact, for the Department of Health. And when I was in Martinique, I had to keep reminding myself, while I'm in the Caribbean, this is actually France, and they kept insisting that this is France, which is quite correct. But at the end of the workshop, one of the participants stood up and making final comments about the workshop, he said, "You know, when I first saw you, Everil, I said, oh my God, here comes another Pakistani. So I wanted to assure you that I'm not from Pakistan, just in case you might be worried where I'm from." And usually I run into this problem of people seeing me and immediately thinking I'm from India, begin speaking to me in Hindi. I don't speak Hindi, and so they think I'm an arrogant lad who left India and came back and has given up on his language. I am arrogant, but I'm not from India. I'm actually from the Caribbean, just to make sure people are comfortable with where I'm from. I'm from the islands of Trinidad and Tobago. That's where I was born. And it's a wonderful couple islands. Trinidad in particular is quite beautiful, far more beautiful than another island called Barbados, which is out there in the Atlantic. I only mention that because there's a guy from Barbados sitting in this group, and I wanted to make that point. My name, as you see there, is Everil Hossain. I'd like you to remember the name. If you want an aid to remember the first name, if you will split it between the ever and the all, it will help you think in terms of my gray hair and whatnot. The Hossain is spelt in a Caribbean way, and if you send me email, my email addresses are somewhere above there, the bottom there. Please spell my last name properly, because as you know, all email in the U.S. is monitored by our president, and if you spell it the Saddam Hussein way, it does create problems for me. In fact, I sent a note to Barack Obama suggesting that should he become president, he may want to consider spelling his middle name the Hussein way, that we spell it in the Caribbean rather than the Saddam way. just two more silly things to say before I get on to the main task here. I have two apologies to make. Normally when we train people to make presentations, we tell them don't make apologies at the beginning, so I like to break that rule. My first apology is I don't normally use PowerPoint. And I've had a lot of help putting together this PowerPoint presentation, but I'm likely to screw up, so I apologize for that in advance. I like to use good old-fashioned flip charts, you know, a white blackboard, but my favorite is the old overhead projector. And I was recently, again, doing a workshop in Iran, and I thought, my God, of all countries in the world, Iran would have one of these things. So I sent over a message to the guy at UNICEF. He sends back a message saying, "Everil, I'm sorry, but we don't have overhead projectors in Iran. They no longer make these things." So I told him to go check the old university, the School of Education. I'm sure there's one in the basement. And eventually they did find one. My second apology has to do with, I'm going to slap you with a bunch of acronyms. These acronyms are what we use in the New York University WHO training, which we conduct every July for about 3 weeks. And Renata does a wonderful presentation there on evaluation. We also have UNICEF involved in that particular exercise. But when you have 3 weeks, you can use these acronyms comfortably, and they become wonderful teaching tools. When I'm going to present it to you in the next 15 minutes, it'll just wash over your head and lead to a mess of confusion. So yet one more apology. Let me move on. Let me now see if I can use this contraption, because it's not my forte. My goodness, I have no relationships with financial, no commercial interests. You don't need to see it. What is COMBI? Well, colleagues in Geneva try to come up with a definition. I'm hopeless at these definitions. And the definition we came up with was COMBI is carefully strategic communication planning, but it is carefully planned and monitored social mobilization directed at the task of mobilizing all societal and personal influences in relationship to an individual and the family to prompt individual and family action with respect to specific healthy behaviors. quite a mouthful. I liked the last one, and I came up with the last one. If you ask me what Combi is, I say Combi is social mobilization with a behavioral bite. The only thing we're interested in is the behavioral result, the behavioral impact. Now, where did this thing come from? Well, it began back in 1994 when I was working with Burson Marsteller, which is this large public relations company which is part of a massive advertising agency called Young and Rubicam. And Burson Marsteller, these are the folks who do the wonderful work for Philip Morris and the Marlboro Man. And there's a lot we could learn from Philip Morris, by the way. I wasn't involved in those accounts, but I just wanted you to know those are the wonderful kinds of products we used to be connected with. And while at Burson Marsteller, together with New York University, we started a training program which had the wonderful title of Integrated Marketing Communication for Behavioral Impact in Health and Social Development. And this program we developed in collaboration with colleagues at UNICEF at the time, a wonderful woman named Dr. Irma Manoncourt, who is now the UNICEF rep in Egypt, had a fair amount of input in helping us put this together, and another lovely colleague at UNFPA, Dr. Delia Barcelona, who is in fact the UNFPA rep in Mongolia, and she's an old time communication person, but she also had some input here. Well, we were running this program in New York, and at the time, WHO, a colleague there named Dr. Ranganathan, fellow from Malaysia, German-trained physician, was asked to head up a unit called Social Mobilization in the Communicable Diseases Division of WHO. And he contacted me and said, Everell, would you like to come and join us and help us reshape our social mobilization program? And I said, fine, I'll do that. And I went off there, and my first activity was to make a presentation for our colleagues, who were all medical doctors, and usually from the, you know, the typical three major diseases, HIV, AIDS, TB, malaria, and of course leprosy and dengue and whatnot. And I started off this presentation using the stuff we were using in New York, integrated marketing communication for behavioral impact. By the end of the presentation, you could see the blood drain from these physicians. And the reaction I got from them was, Everell, this is highly inappropriate to WHO. You know, we're dealing with people's personal lives and their health and whatnot. We are not in the marketing business. We do not sell tobacco. We do not sell Nike shoes, et cetera, et cetera. This is definitely not McDonald's. So this marketing stuff is going to be highly inappropriate. So that night, my boss, Elil, told me to come up with something else if I want to survive in WHO. And I had a couple of rum and cokes, Barbados rum and coke, by the way. And I smoked my cigar against all of WHO rules. And we came up with a solution. The next morning, I went to Elil and I said, Elil, if your medical colleagues don't like all this marketing stuff, let's just drop the marketing term. But the foundation of our work is still going to be the 150 years of global marketing experience, which will teach us a lot. So what we did was we scratched off integrated, we scratched off marketing, and what you ended up with was communication for behavioral impact. And if you take the COM for communication, the B for behavior, and the I for impact, you come up with this wonderful acronym called COMBI. So I asked Yalil, I say, do you think this is sufficiently constipated for WHO? And he said, yes, we love acronyms and this will work. Now, more seriously, I asked Yalil, I said, why would WHO be interested in this approach of integrated marketing communication and communication for behavioral impact? And basically he said to me that for the past 50 years, WHO and many other agencies have done a terrific job at informing people and making people aware of what they should do. But you've had this classic gap for these many years, and you all are all familiar with this, between people know what to do, but they don't do it. And he said, we need to take a leap from what we've been doing for the past 15 years and focus on the behavioral dimension of what our work is all about. The only thing he pointed out, and I agreed with him, that they were interested in is having behavioral impact. When we work with ministries of health, that's their primary concern. But we've done a terrific job at making people highly informed and highly aware of what they should do, but they still don't carry out the behavior. The other problem he said we had at WHO was a lot of people suffer from, I came up with this term, the Kevin Costner syndrome. Don't know how many of you remember the movie Field of Dreams. in which Kevin Costner got up one morning and said, you know, if you build this baseball field, the folks will come and finish this baseball game. And his phrase was, if you build it, they will come. We have a bunch of colleagues in WHO who believe if you build the services, magically, people will walk into the services. So we've tried this with TB, nobody walks in. We tried it with HIV, AIDS testing, nobody walks in. So we say they all suffer from the Kevin Costner syndrome. How do we deal with this? We said, well, let's try using this approach called COMBI, drawn from the marketing world. Now, COMBI has 10 steps in its planning process. We try to reduce it from 12, or 5, or increase it from 5. So we have the magic 10, thanks to David Letterman, who provided us with this idea. And the 10 planning steps has two critical planning principles. We call them mantras because we have to keep repeating them to ourselves to reassure us that we are headed in the right direction and to make sure we don't spend a lot of money on a lot of wasteful things. So the first mantra goes like this. We say, do nothing. Just sit at your desk, drink a rum and coke. Make no posters, no t-shirts, no pamphlets, no videos, no websites, etc. Simply do nothing until, and this is critical for us, until we have set out specific, precise behavioral goals or objectives. And we really live by this. We will do absolutely nothing until we've got that behavioral objective sharp and clear before us. We found out that in our work, this takes up about 40% of our time. We think it's easy to do, but then when you start tackling it, you realize this is quite a mess. So people would say, for example, with HIV/AIDS, we want people to practice safe sex. So when I'm in Southern Africa, I say, well, what does that mean? Does that mean do not have sex while you're out in the game reserve, which would be practicing safe sex? So we spent a lot of time trying to figure out exactly what do you mean by this wonderful phrase, practice safe sex. But this is one critical mantra, critical planning principle, because the temptation we have is to rush in and spend a lot of money making posters and t-shirts and pamphlets. And there are lots of wonderful stories I could tell about this pressure to produce materials. I've been looking at a whole bunch of global fund projects submitted by governments, and if you go to their communication section, it's usually headed IEC, Information, Education, Communication, and what's there is a listing of things that are to be produced. And we say that's the least important thing to worry about in terms of COMBI planning. The first thing we need to figure out is what is the specific, precise behavioral objective. We have a couple of tools that help us clarify what that specific, precise behavioral objective is. One is SMART, and I think many of you know SMART already. The one we tend to use a lot is this one we came up with, the 4+1 W's. I know we don't know how to add. We could have called it 5 W's, but the journalists have held on to the 5 W's. So the 4+1 W's basically says, when you look at a behavioral objective statement, it should tell you who is going to do precisely what, where, and when. And then we ask the last question, the why. Why do you want people to do this? And there's several reasons for doing that. But come to New York, and in 3 weeks, we'll tell you the rest of this. In looking at the behavioral objective, we then go out into the field with a tool we use, which we call HICDOM. And this is one of those acronyms I'm going to slap before you. This is based on diffusion of innovation stuff, and it basically tries to capture the gap between people knowing what to do, and we've done a fantastic job of getting people to know, and people doing this stuff. So we say people first hear about something, get informed about it, become convinced. But then we draw a nice big line there which suggests it's easy to do that hicky part, we call it. But the last part, the dumb part, is where the challenge is. This is where the devil lives. People have to be helped into making a decision. They then take the action. They need to be triggered to take the action, but life isn't happy at that stage. They need reconfirmation that what they just did is bringing them the satisfaction and the value that was promised. And if all of this is working out nicely, then they maintain the behavior. And we have that bottom line phrase there. We know how to do the hickey stuff. We've been doing it very well for the past 50 years. Our biggest challenge is with the DOM. And of course, I arrogantly say to people, give me enough money in any country. Within 6 weeks, I'll have everybody knowing anything you want them to know about. That's not the challenge. The challenge is getting people to take that knowledge and put it into practice and into action. It's an old challenge, but it's one that we are now beginning to face much more readily. There's a second planning principle, and again, it sounds like the first one. once more, we urge people, please don't rush into making posters and T-shirts and pamphlets and videos and websites and caps and ballpoint pens, etc., until you've done something called smacking the behavior around with the consumer. The smacking is not slapping people around. It actually stands for conducting what we call a situational market analysis to identify those communication keys which will enable us to engage the consumer in considering the behavior we are recommending. It's really market research. But again, since my medical colleagues in Geneva fuss about this marketing term, we slip in the phrase market, but really what we mean here is take the behavior, go back to the community, and for God's sake, listen to the consumer. It's a fundamental principle in marketing. You do nothing, nothing in marketing until you've gone out there and listened to the consumer. So the listening to the consumer, we've dressed it up with this acronym called SMACKING. And there's a bunch of things we do there. Here's a list of some of them: a force field analysis, SWOT, something you know of, doing a DELO analysis, trying to figure out how this behavior fits into the day and the life of people's lives, doing a MELO analysis, exactly what goes on at the moment in the life of the individual when they have to carry out this particular behavior, doing something called a TOMA analysis, doing something called a competitor analysis. And in a lot of cases, we find out that a competitor is the simple matter of, I'll take a chance that I won't get HIV tonight, that I won't get an STI, or that my partner or I won't get pregnant. So we try to figure out how come tax beats us out when we are trying to deal with some of these behaviors. The other thing we use for marketing is something we call the 4 C's of integrated marketing communication. It replaces what many of you know refer to as the 4 P's. The 4 C's, we find it's better language when I'm dealing in the sort of challenges we have in health and social development. We say the first C is the consumer need, want, or desire. We do not sell products. What we do is we offer a solution to what the consumer needs or wants or desire, and we can't create the need, we can't create the want, we can't create the desire. We can stimulate what's there, and there's a lot of stuff that's there. It might be latent. We need to figure out a way of bringing it up to the top of the mind and engaging the consumer. The second C is cost. It replaces price, because here cost deals with not just money, but time and effort. And the 4 C's, if you ask me, which is the most important in terms of an individual taking action, we focus on this calculation of the costs versus the promised value that we make to the consumer. And if the cost in relationship to the value isn't in harmony from the consumer's perspective, not our perspective, then we find out that the behavior is not engaged in. The cost versus value calculation is not necessarily a very logical calculation. And that's why it's very critical that we listen to the consumer and see how they're doing this way of, what does it cost me in terms of time, money, and effort, and what's the value you're promising me? We don't use the term benefits, although I might have that word there. We say a lot of things have benefits. The question is, are the benefits of value to the consumer? How much time do you have?
5 minutes.
I'm moving along, 5 minutes. The third C is convenience rather than placement, which is still very important in the business world. But in our world, we find that the business of providing services that matches or is related to the convenience of the consumer is quite an important factor. Even basic things like opening hours of our various services and clinics. And the last C is where our combi plans end up. We've changed the term IEC to mean integrated, engaged communication. And we have something called a 5-point blend. A STAR, rather, which blends various communication interventions. And what we say we are doing in this last C, by the way, C for communication replaces P for promotion, and a lot of reasons why we do that, but I'll get to that perhaps a little later. What we say in the last C we are doing is we are engaging the consumer with regard to the first 3 C's. We are saying to the consumer, listen, we know you want this, or you need this, or you desire this, and we have a solution for that. And we've got it at what we think is a wonderful cost versus value relationship. And if it's not, let's talk about that. And by the way, we think it's very convenient to carry out. Or if it's not convenient, we'll tell you it's not convenient, but tell you, my God, the value is tremendous in relationship to the inconvenience. The combi plan itself, the communication part, after we've done all the hard work, in terms of the situational market analysis and sharpening that behavioral objective. The blend of communication actions is this five-point blend. And we start off with something called administrative mobilization, which I don't see very often in many communication plans. But basically what that says is, do not go to the public with your proposed behavior until you've engaged all your own staff in considering this effort and major program that the, say, a Ministry of Health is going to be involved in. So in Kenya, we make sure that all 50,000 members of the Ministry of Health, from the minister himself all the way down to the cleaning lady, this mythical figure who cleans our clinics at the district and local level, that every single individual is fully informed and fully aware of what the ministry is about to do. The worst thing we found to happen is for your own staff to find out that the Ministry of Health is going to engage in a major HIV/AIDS campaign, but they hear about this during a press conference on a television news account. And we find that that is very frustrating and disappointing to staff. We have the public relations advocacy part up there, where we put on the public agenda what we're about to do, a mess of stuff on the community mobilization, a fair amount of advertising if you've got the money, but we tell people you don't need advertising. If you have the money, then do it and do it well. The most important part of this blend is what we call personal selling. We've moved away a bit from the term interpersonal communication, because there's some things in the private sector when it comes to personal selling and the way you engage the consumer and the way you listen to the consumer, which we thought was a better way of phrasing what we would like to do there. And then the fifth point of the star is what we call point of service promotion. So the combi plan ends up with this integrated, synchronized blend. So if you look for other characteristics of the plan, the synchronized, strategic, integrated aspect is there. We say, do this in MRIP fashion. If you're going to do this, be serious about it. Don't nibble at it. Don't do a little thing in a pilot project in one little village. You learn nothing from that in terms of what it takes to scale up. So if you say, do it in a massive, repetitive, intense, persistent way, MRIP. There's something Young and Rubicam sort of introduced to us, which is try to aim for 6 hits. And what does that mean? You don't actually count the number of hits. But we say to truly engage the consumers, try for 6 hits per day, for 5 days per week, for 3 weeks, to really get the consumer to consider in a serious way this particular behavior. And we remind people, this is not going to be cheap. Everybody, as you know, would love to have health communication done very cheaply. We spend millions of dollars setting up voluntary counseling and testing sites, but we spend dribbles of money to get people to walk into those sites. Here is the 10-step process. Here is an overhead slide. Is this not an overhead slide, a PowerPoint slide? You should not use, because you can't read most of the stuff there. But presumably, you'd be so fascinated by this, you'd want to go and download it and read it in great detail. The critical steps here, almost everybody has the same steps, but the critical ones here is step 2 and step 3, where we say, folks, again, remember the mantras. Don't do anything until you've got that specific behavioral objective before you. And then again, don't do anything until you've gone out and done a bit of this smacking, listening to the consumer. And then as part of step 4, you end up with your strategy, which is listing the sort of actions you're about to take, but not in great detail, just enough detail so that the permanent secretary of health would have a sense of what you're about to do, because that permanent secretary is not going to read the whole mess of the plan. But you want to give them just enough information on what they'll be about. The rest of it, pretty much every communication plan has it. Present the detailed set of activities, how you're going to manage this, how you'll monitor it, how you'll measure impact, how you'll schedule the events, and the budget is the last one. Combi in action, where we have about 60 programs in about 60 countries with a combination of UN agencies, WHO, UNICEF, UNFP, and UNDP. Within WHO, it's a mess of communicable diseases and non-communicable diseases. We're doing some fascinating work with UNICEF in maternal and child health, immunization. In Jordan, I'm about to go off to Jordan in a couple of days dealing with violence against children. In Albania, environmental education, a lot of stuff in early childhood education and early childhood stimulation in Moldova, HIV/AIDS, among other things. Impact results, I think I'm running out of time here. Some wonderful results. In Malaysia, we were trying to get in a dengue program people to inspect their homes every Saturday for 30 minutes over a 12-week period, And the results of this combi program, which is planned very hastily, we were able to get 85% of households in the target areas carrying out this particular behavior. And even after the program was over, we were still able to get 70% maintaining this weekly check of their homes for dengue breeding, mosquito breeding sites. In Moldova, with UNICEF, a combi program for antenatal care, you can see the promoted behaviors there and the before and the after. Seeing a doctor in the first 12 weeks of pregnancy, before it was about 70%. After the combi campaign, it got up to about 81%. Taking folic acid in the first 12 weeks went from 32% to 76%. And in Tamil Nadu, this was wonderful. Trying to get 27 million people in over a two-day period to swallow a bunch of tablets to prevent a disease called lymphatic filariasis. And while they've been in the past only able to get 40%, with this combi effort, they were able to get close to 90% of the 27 million swallowing those four tablets. Conclusion, what makes combi different? Well, we say it's our sharp tunnel vision. We love tunnel vision. It's the sharp tunnel vision focus on behavioral results. Its components have been around for about 100 years. But what is key to us is the integrated blend of these components for behavioral impact in health and social development. Why use it? Well, we usually tell folks, if you're getting the behavioral result that you are aiming for in your work, then don't bother with all this nonsense. Stick to what you're doing. But most of the time, we're finding out people aren't getting the behavioral results that they would wish. By the way, we avoided using the term behavior change, but that's another story. We stick to this behavioral results, behavioral impact terminology. But if you're not getting it, then it's worth trying this other approach, which we call combi. What are the key lessons? I can speak to you about for about an hour about the key lessons. So I've tried to boil it down to two things because Renata is going to tell me I have no more seconds left. And we say, folks, this requires exquisite managerial discipline. We found with combi programs, with this integrated blend, if you implement it the way it's planned, which is quite a mess, but if you have the managerial talent to pull it off, it will work, and we've seen that happen. Where we've seen the disasters is where you don't have the managerial skill. So one of the things we've learned is we say we will not try this until we have some assurance from the Ministry of Health that we'll have the managerial capacity to run these programs the way they're planned. And the last thing, to repeat the point, you can't do this with just a little bit of money. So we tell Ministries of Health, if you don't have the money to do it, you might as well not do anything. Just sit back there and, you know, have a Barbados rum and coke. Yeah. So these were the key lessons. Do I have a last slide? Yeah. Here's a website. Please write this down rapidly. This is the WHO website where there's a bunch of materials on combi. The New York University course, there's a website for that. That's next July. And then there's a chapter that's coming up in a book. And I think one of the colleagues were here. Or what? Has he gone? Did you say one of the folks writing the book is here? No, not here. All right. No, but I am here, and Renata is here, and Will Parks, who used to work with us in WHO in Geneva, now is with UNICEF in the South Pacific, is also one of the co-authors of this, so look out for that. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much, Everald, and thank you to everyone in this panel for a very interesting and outstanding presentation. At this point, I would like to open for the discussion, and in addition to ask all questions that may come to mind, for those of you who have already experimented planning in health communication, if you have any specific challenges or specific issues that you want to bring to the attention of the panelists, that would be great as well. We have a question there.
When you say the norms of that society, where if you go in and you hit them with all of this intensity, you may actually be missing the true barrier to the behavior chamber, which is really the legal system or the social norm.
And that's precisely why we put a lot of emphasis on the two planning principles, the two mantras, meaning don't do any of this stuff. Don't make any posters, no t-shirts, nothing, until you figure out what the specific behavioral objective is. But there's a dance you do between mantra number one, which is what's the behavioral objective, and mantra number two, which is, so what are the, I'll use your language, what are the barriers, what are the constraints, what are the facilitating factors? It's what we call doing the situational market analysis with regard to the behavior. So usually when we go into a ministry of health, they've already tried to come up, they've done their own situation analysis. And we say, okay, what have you found out there? And what do you think at this point you would like people to do which will make a difference to HIV/AIDS? And then they tell us what their tentative behavioral objective is. And we say, okay, we will take that and we'll go out now into the community and we will do what we call the smacking, listening to the consumer. And in the process, we will find out whether this behavior is realistic or not, or whether, in fact, you're trying to get people to do something that there's no way they're going to be able to do it for any number of constraints. And what that tool we call HICDOM is one of the tools we use. For example, in Northwest South Africa, talking to people about HIV/AIDS and talking about using a condom, and we find out everybody there knows everything about HIV/AIDS. So we ask a bunch of women, so why aren't you using condoms? And they say, well, you know, sir, we prefer the BBC. I say, what do you mean the BBC? Why do you want the British Broadcasting Corporation with you when you're having sex? And they say, no, 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 it's not the British Broadcasting Corporation. What they want is body-to-body contact. That's the BBC. In Barbados, in the Caribbean, we call it skin-to-skin contact. But this is one of the things you find out as you go out into the market, we say, and you do that market analysis with regard to the behavior. So we don't get into any of the communication activities until we have concluded, based on the market analysis, that the behavior we have is something that we can really sell. So that initial process, that takes up about 80% of our time, capturing exactly what the behavior is and taking them out and listening to the consumer and listening to why the consumer would carry it out or not carry it out. No. I was thinking, you know, you could ask Jane that question when you see her in the office, but no, I'm joking.
Thank you. I think the biggest challenge is going to scale, because in many cases we now have made significant progress in terms of being able to do something, being able to show results on a smaller, in one area. But these, how you get out to rural Tanzania with fill in the blank, and how you find the resources, the staff, the time to be able to really do this at the scale that's going to make a public health impact. Very important to follow on and
I think you already mentioned one very good approach, and that is in terms of partnership. I think what we call public-private partnerships would be a very effective way of approaching scaling up. And that includes not only the private sector, but as well the media. You know that the media can really provide the multiplier effect. But at the same time, there is also imperative to build the capacities of frontline workers. And it's not only having the service, you know, available, but having quality service, meaning people would really want to go there, not having the Kevin Costner effect, but having people want to go and avail of services because the frontline workers are equipped, well-trained, and pleasant. And that also requires a lot of capacity building. So it's really a very comprehensive approach that COMBI, the P process, the E4E tools are trying to offer. And it's the ability of government, and that's why the building capacity is very important. That's a major ingredient to make it all work and really keep everything up to scale, put everything up to scale.
Any other question, James?
If you remember the 5-point star, each COMBI program, depending on the market situation, varies and depending on the behavior. So often you would find that there's some programs where there's very little advertising, very limited use of the media, but a much stronger emphasis on personal selling. So in Namibia, for example, we are setting up a network of about 5,000. We call them lifestyle ambassadors, and each one of them will have 100 homes, and they are the ambassadors. I call it using the Mormon church approach to engaging families. Or if you prefer, if you don't like the Mormons, the Avon, you know, the Fuller Brush, if any of you are that old to remember Fuller Brush in the US. But a lot of the emphasis in the COMBI efforts is at the personal selling, personal communication level. Now, when it comes to the question about can this work with policymakers? Often we've used COMBI just with policymakers, and the key here is, you know, there's the term we use the phrase advocacy. It's a term I love to hate because I don't know what people mean by it sometimes. Eventually, when I engage people and they say, "Well, what are you doing by advocacy?" I say, "Well, we want policymakers to do something." I say, "Ah, so tell me what it is you'd like them to do," and they have got a behavioral objective, and if I've got a behavioral objective, then I'll use the full force of the COMBI approach to try to get policymakers to do something. So with UNICEF and dealing with something they refer to as juvenile justice, how do you get judges? I treat them as almost policymakers, but they're more practical than that. How do you get judges not to send young children to jail? Yeah? It's a limited number of judges, but we will take those judges and we will focus on them as a market, and we would apply the full blend of the COMBI set of tools to get judges to carry out a particular behavior. So anytime I see the phrase advocacy, immediately I think there must be a behavioral end intended here. And if that's the case, tell me what that behavioral objective is, and then we'll work backwards and figure out how to get the Permanent Secretary of Health and the Permanent Secretary of Finance and the Permanent Secretary of the Ministry of Labor to carry out the particular behavior you have in mind. So it will work as well in that field too.
I know that some of you may have other questions. I saw a hand there, but unfortunately I need to close the session because it's already 10 o'clock, but our panelists will stay around for a few more minutes, so if you want to ask them personally any question. Thank you, everyone, and thank you to our panelists again for a great presentation.
I don't mind at all. This is natural for me.
Yeah. So,
no, I'm not. Actually, healthcare is one of my major
So that was my question. So, can you say that? I'll back around.